Hey, Marlins fans! Welcome to a new edition of Big Fish Small Pod for Wednesday, April 24th, 2024, on the Fish on First podcast channel, presented by MPT College Consulting. Eli Sussman hosting this one for you. I swear, this is not an overreaction to Tuesday's humiliating shutout loss at the hands of the Atlanta Braves. This idea was inspired several hours prior to that game, when an interesting transaction caught my eye from around the league. An old friend suddenly available very early in the year, and I think the fit for him to come back to the Marlins is absolutely there. So let's see if you agree over these next 10 minutes or so.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
The Chicago Cubs designated Garrett Cooper for assignment. DFA'd less than a month into the season after signing a minor league deal in the offseason, not far removed from being a staple of the Marlins lineup. Cooper spent parts of six big league seasons with the Marlins 2018 to 2023. He was, you of course remember, an all-star selection in 2022. He had quite a few ups. He was somewhat of a streaky player, but for the most part, a reliably above average hitter when he was actually on the field. That was always the wrinkle with him. The complication is you never know how often he'd be available, how durable he would be. Last year, he did set career highs for playing time and some of his counting stats, just on a rate basis, didn't perform quite the way that we had come to expect. As the season went on last year, you'll recall the Marlins traded him to the Padres on trade deadline day, part of a three-player trade that brought back Ryan Weathers, who's now in the Marlins rotation. So Cooper finished last year with the Padres, and then this year with the Cubs, signed very, very late in the offseason. And that was part of the reason why he couldn't even get a guaranteed deal, just because there was some question about whether there would be sufficient roster spots available. He played well in spring training, and he was playing pretty well for the Cubs the first few weeks of this season as well. Ironically, his last games as a Cub were against the Marlins this past weekend. He started all four games of that series and didn't perform particularly well. That dragged down his overall numbers. He went 2-for-14 in those games. He struck out six times. If you combine all of his numbers since leaving the Marlins, it's been a shade worse than what he had been as a Marlin. 53 games with the Padres and Cubs, only hit five home runs in that time. The strikeout rate was a little bit elevated, hit 247 with a 737 OPS. If you want to narrow it down to what he did with the Cubs overall, like, that's eerily perfectly in line with his career slash line. Cooper's career slash line in the majors, 268 average, 337 on base percentage, 435 slugging. And then this year with the Cubs in those 12 games this year, 270, 341, 432. All those numbers within 4 points in each of those categories compared to his overall career averages. A 118 WRC plus this year for Cooper in his age 33 season. There was a bit of a logjam in the corner infield spots for the Cubs. He's essentially getting pushed out by Matt Mervis, who got some major league playing time the year before, and now is in DFA limbo. Even though he signed a minor league deal, his base salary was $1.75 million. Whoever potentially acquires him from the Cubs would be responsible for whatever remains of that salary here in 2024. So by the time this process goes through, it'll be about $1.5 million that he's owed. That's only doubled the major league minimum. It's a really small investment for a guy that is not far removed from being close to an everyday caliber hitter at first base and DH positions. The fit with the Marlins, I think, is fairly obvious right now. Again, this is not an overreaction only to Tuesday's game. It's not even an overreaction to each of the last two games. The Marlins, as I'm recording this, are riding a 20-inning scoreless streak, or scoreless drought, you may want to phrase it. And overall, their offense really bad. Across the board, bottom five offense in baseball to this point, especially being held back by their propensity to hit grounders, everything on the ground. That is a botching a lot of big scoring opportunities and causing them to underperform on balls in play so far this season. And Cooper at times has been a high ground ball guy, but actually the last couple of years, not so much, right in line with the league averages in the low 40s percentile range for Cooper. Right now, the fit is pretty apparent. You'll recall Jake Berger this year. He'd been splitting time between third base and first base, allowing Josh Bell to split time between first base and DH. And Berger, at the very early portion of the season, was the Marlins' best offensive player. He recently suffered a intercostal strain that was 9-10 days ago or so. And as of what we know right now, he's still a little while away from coming back. He's slowly ramping up baseball activities. Even when that happens, he'll have to go on some sort of minor league rehab assignment. There's no like definitive timetable for when Berger is going to come back. He's obviously going to come back this season. He's going to come back, I think, barring significant setbacks, sometime within the next month or so. In the meantime, Marlins want to avoid being humiliated on a nightly basis. Even if we've reached a point here, 6-19 through the first 25 games, like there's a whole lot of smoke that says that they're just not going to be contending this year. So you may be wondering why is this even worth it to grab a guy who is on a 1-year deal that is in the decline phase of his career at this point. And I mean, the point is he was a nice part of this, not only a significant contributor to a couple competitive teams in Miami, but also a good clubhouse culture guy, somebody that enjoyed being in Miami. And I think when things are going this bad for your team, making any sort of change can be rejuvenating, even if it's not going to turn around your entire season. And Cooper is just not far removed from having some really impressive hot streaks where he can put the team on his back for a series at a time. And that's what they definitely need right now. Since Jake Berger went out, the corresponding move was to call up Otto Lopez. And again, I reiterate, I'm not overreacting to one game, but Otto Lopez really put himself in the doghouse on Tuesday night. He committed a returned what should have been a double play into no outs on a routine error at third base that led to a couple runs scoring for the Braves. And then the very next inning, he comes up to the plate and he grounds into a double play, hitting a ball that was very much like the one that he failed to field on his own. Lopez himself was a waiver claim who hasn't done much in the big leagues. He's not a top prospect. He's not a part of the Marlins' future. He is a prototypical quad A player. That might be being generous. That is a spot where they can obviously upgrade and bring in somebody like Cooper as just a dramatically higher ceiling as a player right now. It would allow Josh Bell to continue to get a lot of DH time. It would allow Josh Bell to get an occasional day off. He has played each of the 25 Marlins games, started all 25, and he has really underperformed. And even as an Iron Man who takes pride in his availability, when you have somebody like Cooper around, and that actually gives him an opportunity to take a breather and maybe get back on track and try to salvage, make sure that his season isn't a carbon copy of last year where Bell was not wanted by his former team in Cleveland when he was traded over to the Marlins. So that could help. And just to be more precise, if you have Cooper in the lineup at first base, especially against left-handed pitching, then you have Emmanuel Rivera playing third base. And that has been his better defensive position as compared to first. You have Otto Lopez squeezed off the roster. To make all of this work, as I'm recording this, we anticipate Christian Bethencourt coming back from the injured list. The Marlins will send down a catcher anyway in Johnny Pareda. but they might as well designate him for assignment to clear a 40-man spot in order to claim Garrett Cooper in the first place. So that's how all that math goes, where you're able to bring back a familiar face on a relatively low salary, somebody that has a clear fit in your lineup on a mostly everyday basis for the near future. And you're not going to lose anybody because Johnny Pareda is going to clear waivers. And Otto Lopez, if something magically clicks while he's down in AAA, you can always bring him up later in the year. When Berger gets back, hopefully it's only a few weeks away, then you have a good problem on your hands. If Josh Bell is performing more like his typical self, if Cooper is at least playing as well as he was with the Cubs prior to the DFA, and if Berger is healthy, and if Avi Garcia is contributing in some like minor way, then you have guys that are a little bit redundant, a lot of right-handed power bats that don't offer much outside of their slugging when they're on top of their game. And so, yeah, that'll be a decision to make when the time comes. You kind of hope that the Marlins have those kind of decisions to make on the offensive side, just considering how bad things are going, especially against left-handed pitching. Max Fried reminded them of that on Tuesday night. This has been a theme throughout the entire season at this point. Even if there is not a emphasis on putting together there's not going to be a desperation to transform this team all of a sudden and salvage the 2024 season, sneak back into the wild card race. Even if that is unrealistic, there's still a lot of value to bring in somebody that you know and that you trust and that has real upside if he gets back into a comfortable situation again. So just taking it one step at a time. When things are going this badly, you really do have to slow it down, take it one move at a time. I think this would be a big positive with very minimal risk. Let's see what other teams go after Cooper as well. Others will have a chance to claim him off of waivers. And I imagine that there could be more than one that will do so, considering what he's accomplished and how little of a risk it is to bring him in the first place. Let me know what you think. When I put this out on Twitter, I did see some like very fair counter arguments against going out there and claiming Cooper off of waivers, perhaps instead putting your trust in internal options. And I'm open to that as well. But to me, this seems just like a fairly obvious move to make. Really, the only question is whether you're actually successful in that waiver claim. But yeah, I think the stars have aligned where this reunion that might have thought was possible eventually, just not so early in the season, I think it makes sense for both sides. And I hope it does come together for the sake of something to shake up the monotony of this awful first 25 games of the season. This has been Eli Sussman on the Small Pod, Fish on First podcast channel. Make sure you're subscribed to us, rate and review, and go to mptcollegeconsulting.com for a free consultation.